Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. And today's episode is all about tennis, how to learn it, how to teach it, and why it might be one of the most underrated sports in our community. I'm joined by local coach Zach Osegueda, who brings a ton of energy and insight in what it takes to develop players at every level, from young kids just picking up a racket to competitive athletes trying to push through plateaus. We talk about everything from pickleball versus tennis, how kids should approach sports specialization, what really matters when you're trying to improve your game. Whether you're a casual player like me or someone thinking about getting into the sport, this conversation is packed with practical advice and a real love for the game of tennis. Let's go meet Zach.
Blessed to infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best.
Zach, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I like to eat Chili's. That is one of my all-time favorite places to go.
And what
I like getting the three for me.
Okay. Describe that. It's been a long time since I've been to
Chili's. Me and my family, we go a lot. So it's the three for me. You get an appetizer and you get like an entree and then you get a drink. And it's only, I think, about $14.99 for those three things.
Yeah. That's a steal. Absolutely. I am so excited to talk all things tennis with you.
Yes.
So we're going to start with some kind of, I'll start with a controversial question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Is pickleball going to take tennis's place in the long run? What do you think?
Honestly, I do not think so. Pickleball is a great sport, but also so is tennis. Tennis, I think, because one time I taught over probably 1,000 kids tennis in like maybe 2 weeks. And honestly, the kids loved it. Pickleball is a great sport. It's something to do with friends, and also so is tennis. So yeah, just trying something new. But I don't think tennis would ever go away.
Okay. So pickleball is a hobby sport, but tennis will always be the kind of premier racket sport. Okay. All right. Let's jump into some questions about kids. If you're going to teach your kid tennis, for example, if you're talking to a parent, what age would you recommend them starting?
I would say the best way is to maybe start at 5, 6, or 7 years old, like around those ages. I started at the age of 7. So that's honestly a great way. And then probably 2 or 3, maybe that's a good way to learn how to hold a tennis ball.
Okay. Some mechanics early on, but then actual lessons and instruction at 5 to 7. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And when do you, either as a coach or when you're talking with parents, when do you start to distinguish between this is a recreational activity and this is an activity where we're going to put a lot of time and commitment to developing skills?
So I do both. So how it works is first when I do start coaching is I show kind of the kids a little bit of the techniques. When I teach kids, I do not use techniques like, oh, like you swing like this. No, I use techniques that they're familiar with. Oh, like a forehand, like pet the dog a little, and then go up the stairs and then through the roller coaster. I use those techniques so they can understand the process.
Okay. And when you're looking at, let's say, a group of kids that you're teaching, are there certain kind of attributes or like non-tennis related skills that indicate to you that this person might be a great tennis player?
Honestly, I think any kid could be a great tennis player. Just got to practice. Practice is always the best thing to do. And then that's how they grow as a tennis player.
Okay. So there, for you, there isn't any important innate talent skills, whether it's physical or anything like that. Do you think that will separate them as a potential star tennis player?
No, I think honestly, anyone could be a great tennis player and it could be a star. Honestly, there's no, like, how do I say it? There's no saying like, oh, tennis is for these people or tennis is for this person. No, anyone could do it.
Okay.
Anyone could be a star.
Absolutely. I love playing tennis recreationally, but I also love watching tennis. Now, when you're talking to kids and they're at home, watching center or one of those big name professional players. Are there things that they pick up from them that maybe are not something what you want them to focus on when they're just learning the game, or they start to try to emulate professional athletes?
Honestly, I actually never had any kid who's watched tennis be like, "Oh, came to me." But I actually did have kids that would say, "Oh, coach, are you going to go professional?" And I was like, "I don't know about that." But yeah, they're like, "Oh," or like they compare themselves, like, "Oh, I'm going to be the next Coco Gauff or Ben Shelton." I'm like, "Okay, that's your goal. That's your goal."
I know I've had this conversation with a number of people on this podcast, and I'm curious your perspective. So there's two camps in the kids' sports world. There's the camp that thinks that kids should lean into kind of a specialization so then they can really hone a craft and then be talented enough at that one craft to launch them into playing on the high school team or collegiate scholarships, all that kind of stuff. The downside of that is that they only learn one thing and then they maybe overuse certain muscles or parts of their body. And then you've got this other camp that is like kids should get a big variety of experiences when they're growing up and not just lean into one single sport. Where are you on that debate?
For me, I think the second part you said, I think I like that one more because growing up, I did do lots of sports, and then tennis is just the one that stuck. Like I did t-ball, I did soccer, I did track, I did water polo and tennis. And so honestly, tennis is just the one that stuck for me the most. So honestly, just getting that right feel of as many sports as you want to do so you could feel which one is good for you, which one do you want to pursue in middle school and high school, stuff like that.
I see. So what you're saying is give them an array of options so then they choose where they want to specialize. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And on that vein a little bit, I know that some kids, when they are in the same sport, they can overuse certain muscles. I saw this with some students of mine that were softball players, particularly pitchers, where their arm was same motion over and over again. Are there certain overuse injuries that we see in tennis?
Yes. So in tennis, there could be a lot. I had one student, what's it called? He had like elbow kind of problem. That's like tennis elbow, or sometimes like he had muscles on, like, for one, that's the muscles you're using, but also it's like when you're serving, you're overextending your serve, and that's what kind of makes it hurt. Or like power too, when you use power, you're using your muscles and you're using your knees a lot too.
I see. I
So
see.
you're like, but usually that usually gets sometimes injury, like sometimes the knees, or if you don't stretch, stuff like that. I see so many players overdo it.
So when you're structuring a practice session, what is your ratio between drills and then doing live ball practice? How do you think about what that
So
look like?
I do both. So what I do is you do live first, I do live ball to get going, to get a good warm up in, and then so next, then I do drills. So I teach an adult class on Sundays. So when I do that, I let them hit the ball first. I'm like, "Okay, go ahead, get a feel, go hit the ball, go warm up for a little bit." And then
You
after
do it
that,
that way versus the reverse, starting with drills.
I do warm up first. So like I do a little short court, like that's a good way to start short court, getting the feel of the racket. Instead of drills, just me going to drills, I'm like, "Oh, if that was me, I'm like, I'm not warmed up yet. So I can't, if I'm working on my placement, I can't do that if I don't have my ability." So that's always a good start to do, is doing like a little warm up and then going into drills.
Okay. And I participated in a lot of sports and I've watched some students I've worked in schools for a long time where they'll hit that plateau that you experience, the kind of 80-20 rule where you get 80% of the way and that last 20% is really hard to improve. You have a student that's hit a plateau in their skills and abilities. How do you diagnose what's going on there?
So that's not very, I watch them on the court. I watch and then I point out what they're doing. And then sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, I'm going to record you so you could see what is going on." And then I do it slow-mo and I'm like, "Hey, look, this is what's happening here. And then you see how your like elbow is bent on that. So you need to straight up these gap. So I think once they see it, they'll visualize.
Okay, so for you, most of the plateaus are just technical issues rather than like psychological or energy or effort.
Sometimes there is energy, like, because tennis is 80% mental.
Yeah.
So how that is, I just say, clear your head. I'm like, get out of your head. You are doing fine. Okay, because once you're in your head, it's hard to get out of that.
Okay.
And struggles for all, I think all tennis players in general.
Gotcha. So when you're teaching kids, and I've had this experience, kids all have different kind of physical development pathways. Some develop faster than others. Some, you have those middle schoolers that are 6 feet tall. So you'll have an array of physical development pathways for kids. Now, as they age, are they having to like relearn things? If you're getting older and bigger, you have more power. And so I wonder if the kind of adjustment that comes with physical growth, what the challenges are for you as a tennis teacher as your kids develop.
Honestly, you in tennis, you do have to teach them all over again because it's hard because, yes, once you have it down, you still got to develop it because that's why there's practice because practice gets perfect. Because I know people who would play, say, they played in middle school and just that seventh grade year, and then they join freshman year of high school and then they're rusty and
Yeah.
stuff like that. So that's why practice is very important.
Yeah. Let's talk about a few things that have to do with kind of the equipment. Are modern rackets making players a bit lazy, given how incredible the modern racket is and its ability to produce power and
The
et cetera?
modern racket, oof, like the new rackets.
I'm just talking about how rackets have evolved and they're much
Oh,
more, they allow you to, the racket does much more work than it used to. Is that making players more lazy because they can rely on the tech?
Oh, honestly, I don't think it's making players lazy. I think because yes, it's your racket, but there's certain rackets out there for that certain. Like I have probably four rackets that each has helped me, and then. Just because it just goes a long way than just the racket. It goes more of speed. It goes more of how you're rotating your body, how your forehand and your backhand are with that racket. And you just got to develop that power with it and know how to use your racket with it.
I see. Should amateurs like me that just play recreationally, should we worry about restringing our rackets regularly?
Not right now.
Okay.
So I actually had people who would ask me beginner's racket. I'd be like, okay, because they don't want to spend a bunch of money. So I'm like, you know what? Go to Target or Walmart, go get a $25 racket. And then once you, that's a good racket for a good starter, especially for adults. And then once you do that, kind of starts building. And then once you be like, hey, I don't want to try this racket anymore, then that means that, okay, you can order online or go to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay. So, what is the primary benefit of restringing the rackets? Just it's a lot more taut and it gets loose over time. And so it makes your shots less precise.
Sometimes it does. Like for me, I think I needed restringing. I was just telling my friend about this yesterday. Oh, I need to restring because mine are getting loose, and you could tell that they're getting loose. Also, it could be like the sound too. And then also, if your strings break too, you can hear it.
Okay. And how much variation is there from racket to racket, brand to brand? Are they all pretty similar or is there some pretty stark?
They're all different.
Okay.
So, like, weight is a very good thing. The frame size, also your grip, what size it is, because everyone has a different development. Like, I think like weight is very important. There's light rackets out there, there's heavy rackets out there. And yeah, honestly, I think there's a big difference in rackets.
I see. Okay. When you, Zach, are watching tennis, what are some things that, let's say you're watching, we just had the Australian Open. When you're watching that, are there certain things that you are noticing about the gameplay that an amateur at home who's just watching it for fun won't notice? I'm always curious to see the world through other people's eyes, and I'm curious how you watch tennis that might be different than how I watch tennis.
As a coach, I see I'm like, or like even my play, I'm like, go this way, or hit the ball this way. And then like they do it, and I'm like, wow. And then so I'm like watching it. I'm like, go this way, go that way. And
So you
then,
can see the game within the game.
yeah. And then sometimes I, what's it called? I also use some of those shots. Like I practice shots too. Like I try practice hitting harder, or I practice my volleys and everything to make it me better.
Okay. All right, Zach, we're going to jump into my favorite section, which is called overrated versus underrated. It's going to throw a bunch of things at you, including some either-ors, and then you tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. Are you game? All right, let's do it. So first one on this is one-handed backhands. Are those over or underrated?
Underrated.
Okay, so one-handed backhands should have a bigger role in people's game. Okay, why?
Honestly, because it's, what's it called? It's very powerful. Like, I've seen really good people do. And I think also sometimes if you want to, give it a try. And then, because I don't do one-hander, but I started doing it a little bit. So I was like, oh, okay, I got the feel. Because I do two-hander backhand.
Yeah, what's the difference? So one-handed has more power than a two-handed backhand?
I think so. Because you're not using, you're just like using that one arm too
Okay.
of it.
Gotcha. All right, next one. What is the best tennis court to play at in Fresno?
The best tennis court, there's so many,
Yeah, what's your
but
top tier?
oh Jesus. Probably Roding Park tennis courts are
Okay, that's what a bunch of tennis player friends told me. Why is the Roding
good.
Park tennis court so good?
Because they're beautiful, and then also it's public too. They have 11 beautiful courts, and they also have a wall that you can go hit if you don't have someone to go hit with and just to want to go practice.
Okay. Next one. Do you prefer Nadal's play style or Federer's play style?
Federer's.
Okay. Why?
Because looking at how he plays, I'm like, wow, I want to play like that, or I want to learn how to play like that.
What is it about how he plays? I'm curious.
It's just the strategy he uses. Also, he does not, all players don't, they don't give up. They never give up. And he, I think he tried to find like that strategy of what to do on that court, or like how to make him better to against his opponent.
Okay. Next one, not tennis related. Me and Ed's Pizza. Do you think that's over or underrated?
Oof, underrated.
Okay, you like it? What do you
Yes, I like it. That's just good in general. Or
like?
their ranch is good. Their ranch is good.
Yes, absolutely. All right, next one. The USTA system, the system for we have for juniors in the United States. Do
Yes.
you think it's a good or bad system for kids?
I think it's a good system because I'm USTA Safe Play and everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good opportunity for kids if they want to get better, if they want to get into tournaments, and so they can get better for high school, and if they want to play in college.
Okay, gotcha. All right, next one. Coco Gauff or Sabalenka?
Oh, oof. Coco Gauff.
Okay.
Yeah. She's a legendary. Honestly, I was watching a show and she was on it. It was about tennis and she was on it.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. She
In
appeared
terms of
there.
play style, though, do you prefer Coco Gauff's play style
Yeah,
to
I turned
Sabalenka's?
Coco Gauff because I think she was number four, ranked number four. And honestly, her playing has actually gave me inspiration to do better, to try to get better, more practice, and to develop my game too.
Okay. Next one, using strength training for tennis juniors to build their skills. Do you think that's important or not as important?
I think it's important because in tennis, you do need muscle.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
do need muscle. And honestly, like for juniors, like little, like middle school or something, you could start with easy little like weights or push-ups, sit-ups, stuff like that.
Okay. What is your favorite major tournament to watch?
I really watching Australia Open.
Okay, why
That's
do you
really
prefer
one of my
that one
favorites.
amongst the four?
I really like that one because that one has so many players in it. And actually, Ethan Quinn, the name. So he is from Fresno. And I was watching him in Australia Open. I think also I love it, just watching it in general out of all of them.
Yeah. My preference tends to be the French Open, because I like the sliding on the clay. I think that's fun to
Oh,
watch.
yeah.
I know that's like a very specialized skill, specialized court, but At least for me, that one's my favorite to watch. All right, next one, tennis fashion. There's a world of fashion associated with tennis. Do you think it's
Yes.
over or underrated?
Honestly, I think it's underrated because there's a lot of good tennis fashion stuff out there. Even like I've seen my adult class, I've seen them wear like fashion, a skirt. They're ready and they're beginners. They want to look their best. And I'm like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I love that too. Okay, let's jump into some Fresno specific questions now. How does our climate affect the way you teach tennis? We gets really hot here. How do you deal with that?
So I try to look at the weather and then I look at my the time. So I'm like, okay, for the morning, I change in the morning because it's not so hot. And then if it's colder, I try to do still in the morning. I always try to do my practices in the morning
Okay.
because so it can give the clients also another way to, they needed something to do in the afternoon or something like that.
Okay. Let's say you're at some kind of networking event with other tennis coaches from around the country, and they say, Zach, can you describe for us what is the tennis scene in Fresno like? What would you tell them about Fresno's tennis scene?
I would say Fresno is un underrated for tennis. I think we have a lot of tennis here in Fresno. And we have a lot of great players that I think could be professionals.
Okay, wonderful. And how for you have you evolved as a coach over time and a teacher? Are there some things that you like did or believed early on that you no longer do or believe as you've evolved in your teaching practice?
Yes. So, real quick, every tennis coach is different. Every tennis coach. So I started at 19. I was young. I was in my freshman year of college. And after that, I yelled, did that. I was like, no. And then after time, I'm like, no, no more yelling. Just talk to them and then see what's in their mind, what's going on. Because I want the way that they're playing, or say if like I want them to hear what I have to hear. You know what I mean? On the court. And also just to develop them as a player to like say, okay, what do they need? What do they need to work on? I ask my players sometimes that I'm like, what do you guys need to work on in general? What do you need to get better at? Because everyone needs room for improvement.
Okay. And a inverse of that question, how have you seen your students change since you've been coaching?
Honestly, it's the respect
Okay.
because coaching at a young age at 19, it is hard, especially if it's your old team and they played with you. So they see you as that friend, not that coach. And I had to make it clear for them, hey, I'm your coach. You need to respect me. And I actually seen some respect and improvement along the way.
Okay. And then in terms of what the kids are like you work with, like how are the kids different now versus when you started?
Honestly, they're polite. Or like I'm coaching at Buchanan right now for boys. And then honestly, it's great. We have 30 boys on the team and each one of them respects me. I could see it every day, or they would ask me, like one time they all wanted to match with me. They all wanted to wear a pink shirt where they're all like, we should dress like Coach O. And I'm like, oh geez.
That's fun, though. That means they
Yeah.
care about you.
Yeah, they did. Or one day I was gone, like for my, I was practicing with my practice and my team, and they were like, Coach, oh, you're back. Where'd you go? Or, oh my God, you can't. I'm like, I was gone for one day. Not like I was gone for 2 weeks.
Wow. So we always conclude these podcasts with book recommendations. Zach, is there any books that come to mind, either tennis related or things you just enjoy
Oh.
to read that you'd like to share with listeners?
Honestly, I like reading different types of theater books. So I'm a theater major.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so I learned about different books about acting and then stuff like that. Sometimes, yeah, they could be for class, but also they're very interesting to read. But one of the top books that I'd probably like reading would be, what's it called? It's called The Help. That's a really good book to read, in my opinion.
Okay,
Yeah.
fantastic. So to close up here, Zach, if people are interested in receiving some tennis support and coaching from you, how do they get a hold of you? How do they find out more about you online?
So my Instagram is baseline and beyond. That is my tennis one. If they want to get a hold of me, also my email is my first and last name, Zachary Osegueta at gmail.com, all lowercase. Yeah, that's a great way. I'm very cheap with privates. I charge $25 for a group session and then $30 for a private for an hour and a half.
Wow, that is very affordable. Awesome. Zach, I learned a lot about tennis today. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Fresno's best. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.